It should be obvious that we cannot solve a crisis with the same methods that got us into it in the first place.
This is a last chance saloon. Because if we don't really take the decisions that are vital now, it's going to be almost impossible to catch up.
We will end the moratorium on extracting our huge reserves of shale, which could get gas flowing as soon as 6 months. We'll get
away. If unprecedented changes are not made and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero carbon.
East Hall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbonista Series 4 Fool's Gold. I'm Ian Collins and this is the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it's in. As we record this episode, the sunshine is absolutely with us. And I tell you what, Dale, you know, that's a double-edged sword, that sunshine thing, because, it's warm. I know you've got your trunks on and stuff like that. The pina coladas are coming thick and fast, but it's melting the solar panels.
Shit, I'm thinking now you've got a spy cam in my office. You see everything.
We always review the footage. So what's coming? The solar panels are melting. I saw this in the paper this week. And I thought, hang on a second. I don't believe that solar panels, which when I was a kid, I used to walk to school. There were two houses then that had solar panels on the roof.
Wow.
So this is a long time ago. And I never think, I didn't even know what they were for about 2 years. I was like, what is this stuff on the roof there? So this would have been sort of early adopters of the technology in the sort of early 80s, I guess. Yeah. But they didn't melt, and none of them have melted. And I would have thought that the person that invented the solar panels might have considered the melt factor. And I don't think we'd have got this far down the line without someone raising the issue, which leads me to believe that the story might be, as my old nan would say, a load of bollocks.
Yes. Well, look, this is a story from the melts at the Telegraph, right? They decided that the UK had to turn on a coal-fired power station this week because solar panels were letting us down because there was too much sun. I think they've got like British Rail firmly in mind where we get the wrong kind of leaves, the wrong kind of everything. I mean, it's pure bullshit. What happened is more and more people have aircon in our country now than they ever did. I mean, back when you were at school, nobody had it, right?
Yeah.
Because temperature's getting hotter, summer's getting hotter, more and more people have aircon. It's been effing hot this week and last week, and people cranked up the aircon. Solar was the biggest single contributor on the grid yesterday, by far. Now, solar panels, when they get hot, they do produce slightly less output. You know, it might be 5%, might be 10%, depends on quite how hot. So when you install them, you have an air gap underneath to keep them cool. So there's definitely an effect there. But listen, a lot of things suffer in the heat, but our fleet of solar panels in Britain didn't underperform. It certainly didn't melt or melt down. It outperformed. And without it, well, we'd have been screwed.
So what melted?
The Tory graph.
Well, I mean, literally, because that thing's for sale, right?
Well, that's true. And actually, we thought about making a bid, you know, part out of cheek. And actually, things start out, in my experience, as cheek, and then they turn into something real. And then you go, shit, that happened, and now I'm running this. But we thought maybe we'd crowdfund it, you know, maybe just go out there. And there must be so many people in our country pissed off with the right-wing media dominance of our national conversation. You know, maybe there's enough of us to chip in and buy the thing.
Well, that's true. How many do we...
I know what you're thinking.
Oh, it did get me thinking. I thought, you know, so it's got to be worth about £27. So that's that's like a tenner a piece. So, between me, you, Dale, and someone else, I don't know who, but someone.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it's a crazy idea. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But the fuckwits that own it have had it taken from them by their bank for some financial problems. I mean, it's actually the surviving Barclay brother who lives in a tax haven and was on the verge of going to jail for not paying his wife the court mandated divorce sum. I mean, he's all kinds of a funny person, if you ask me. But yeah, he's having the Tory graph taken from him. And it ought to be an opportunity for somebody with big pockets to step up from the left wing of life, hopefully, and buy it, or maybe for a crowdfunded rescue mission.
Yeah, if the Telegraph became a left-wing newspaper, that'd be amazing.
That'd be fabulous, wouldn't it? If I had a little bit more time this week, I'd have looked more closely at it, but it's been another one of them weeks.
And it's been another strange week for a Scottish firm who's been given £430 million in green loans. Mm. only to expand its oil and gas operations. What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, well, this was a green transition loan, first of its kind, I believe, and it was money dished out by Liz Truss in her £30 billion month in charge of the country. That's what she cost us. So compared to the £30 billion, it's not quite a drop in the ocean. It's nearly half a billion. Went to the Wood Group. They promptly increased their investment in oil and gas by 20% nearly, and decreased their investment in renewable energy by 35% and stuck two big fingers up at the idea of a green transition loan.
I mean, I don't want to be too cynical. I would suggest that's not in the spirit of the loan.
Yeah, it must be in the small print somewhere that you just can't do that, right?
You might think, yeah, I mean, there's brazen and then there's fuck me.
That's very often you.
They firmly stuck their flag into the latter there, I think, Dale.
I think they did. Maybe it's because Liz Truss has gone and they're thinking, well, we did the deal with her and she's gone, so fuck it.
I think that's probably what it is. Here's a question from Helen who says, is Julia Hartley Brewer's stock response that you're lying to every question she asks you? Why do you go on with her?
Well, that last bit, I was asking myself that. After this week's episode, I was thinking, fuck, you know, what am I doing? I couldn't get a word in edgeways. We're on for just a couple of minutes. They muted me at the end. And every time I said something, she denied it. But to be fair, every time she said something, I also had to say, no, look, that's not true. That's not true. But like I told her at the end, I don't actually say it to everything you say, just the things that aren't true, which probably happens to be
So what did she, because the last time, of course, it was Wheelgate, wasn't it? There was some sort of uninventing the wheel or something she threw at you. What was it this time that she got a bit flustered about?
Oh, what were we even talking about? I didn't get a lot of chance to speak, to be honest. I think it was just our boil and Labour. At one point she said to me, I don't know why you even bother giving money to Labour, because the Tory government are just as mad for net zero. And my response was, well, the Tory government may be mad, but not for net zero. We moved quickly on.
But that is, it's interesting. We have talked about this before, haven't we? Because there is a sort of an arch right-wing belief that Rishi Sunak's Tories are the same as Keir Starmer's Labour, and on things like net zero, they're singing from exactly the same hymn sheet.
I know, and it makes no sense, right? I mean, what kind of fool would think that opening up coal mines and gas and oil fields in the North Sea is a step towards net zero? And all right, given that Labour have already said they won't do that in the North Sea and they're against the coal mines, what kind of fool would think that they're in the same position on this?
I think when it's under a Conservative government, it's kind oil. That's the thinking.
It's better oil,
it's
isn't
better,
it?
Yeah, it's better.
That's what they told
sort
us.
Of bluer oil, and apparently works very, very well.
But on our own show, Julia Hartley Brewer is complaining about Labour's stance, and then says they're the same as the Tories, but they're doing opposite things.
Yeah.
It's opposite things. I'm not sure if she pays much attention to what's going on in the world. I think she tries really hard to be a little bit extreme and to kind of, it's almost like clickbait, the way she talks.
I mean, I don't dispute that Conservatives talk the talk, because every one of them will say net zero is where we want to be. But clearly the evidence is in what they do, not what they say.
Yeah, and even in what they say sometimes. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Rishi Sunak said, we need oil for several decades to come, which is a bit of a WTF moment. And you know, that's not compatible with net zero, as is, you know, more drilling in the North Sea. The whole thing is a pile of nonsense. Honestly, it gets me really worked up because, you know, the argument for drilling in the North Sea is false. It won't lower energy bills. It won't give us energy security. All it's going to do is drive up emissions.
I think Boris Johnson might join the Green Party now, because he's obviously got a lot of time on his hands. He will never be seen again darkening the doorstep of Westminster.
Well, that would be the kiss of death for the Green Party, wouldn't it? If he
you
did.
Imagine. Yeah, Matt. Yeah. He could have a, you know, big old green epiphany.
Maybe what we need him to do is start a campaign like Brexit, but to get us off fossil fuels. Maybe we'll call it Fexit.
And tomorrow will be our Independence Day. You can hear him saying that.
Yeah, we'll give him some real stats, right? It's not $350 million a week for the NHS. That was bullshit. But it is $1 billion a week that we currently spend bringing fossil fuels here just to burn them. And we can save that money if we make all of our energy from renewables right here. We can give him facts, not lies, to stick on the side of his bus or on his fat ass. I don't care where.
talking of what's costing us money, Just Stop Oil are costing us a lot of money, Dale. You've got to start rethinking things here. Apparently, the Met say it's cost them millions in the last 6 weeks. So who should pay?
That's a good question. And I went on GMB 2 days ago in the morning here in Stroud to debate that actually with an ex-copper, although he didn't really contribute much. I had a good lively chat with the presenters. But basically, they were saying to me, look, the public have no say in this expenditure of $4.5 million, and it's an outrageous sum of money and so on and so on. And so I said to them, look, there are lots of sums of money that we have no say in. For example, the Queen's funeral policing bill, $70 million. The King's coronation, $200 million. The subsidies that we give to the fossil fuel industry every year, $10 billion. And of course, it's fossil fuels driving the climate crisis. So is it really out of proportion for a policing bill of just $4 billion for people to protest against this madness?
Here's a question from Rupert, who says, the meatless farm has just gone into administration. Does this mean less meat substitutes in the future for the meat-free category? The company made good distributions in the supermarkets but lost almost 40 million quid since 2017. Is there another way to go after one of the pillars of your manifesto? What's the story here, the meatless farm?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. They're one of the victims of this kind of downturn, this overcrowding. It's a combination of things in the plant-based food sector. You know, this it's been crowded with new entrants. And at the same time, there has been a downturn in sales, which could be cost of living crisis based because vegan products are still premium priced, although they shouldn't be. They were burning £2 million a month, as we understood it. We've been watching this slow motion car crash for a while. And their losses were twice their turnover, which is never a good look. And what it really was driven by, I think, was the terms of business of the supermarket. So they did incredibly well to be everywhere with their range of products, and it looked amazing, but they were simply paying for it. And they ran out of cash. They said an investor changed his mind, and they hadn't kind of expected that. And suddenly they're in trouble. Shame, you know, because it looked good, right? It looked like
yeah. But is it real progress. In a curious way? Are they sort of the victims of, you know, many respects being one of the first to something? And it often takes, you know, they've broken a lot of ground. Others will follow, and clearly are following because it's a growing industry. But unfortunately, they, you know, despite what they were trying to do, it was too costly at this point. But going forward, you know, if they started it in 5 years' time, it'll probably be fine.
No, I think actually they were probably victims of their own model. I think a lot of companies start up and lose hundreds of millions in order to create a market share, like Octopus, the energy company, or Bulb or Ovo. They're the classic three, actually. Between them, they've lost £750 million in the energy sector since inception. They've never made any money, but they're creating market share. One day, if they can survive that long, they'll hope to cash that back in. Meatless Farms just didn't have big enough pockets for the money they were spending to get placement in the supermarkets, in my view.
Hi, I'm Mike Graham from Talk TV, and I've been asked to tell you about green issues and a new book called Manifesto. It's brilliant, apparently. Do you believe in climate change? I don't. Do you believe we all need to find a greener way of living our lives? No, I don't either. I think it's all a load of guff perpetuated by loony lefties and eco-zealots hell-bent on causing a nuisance. Do you believe we're all killing our beautiful planet? No. Neither do I, but I know a fellow who does. His name's Dale Vince. He's so convinced he's written a whole book about it called Manifesto. The Battle for Green Britain. It's part memoir, part handbook for changing the world and shaking it up, apparently. I won't be buying it, but you can if you want to waste your hard-earned cash. It's $4.99. Pretty cheap, isn't it? You must be wealthy as hell. According to this script, it's available now from fgr.co.uk/shop.
Here's one, Dale. A new deadly virus could reach the UK, and the root of this, or the reason behind it, climate change.
Tell it to all the right-wing, you know, media folk, that, including Julia Hartley Brewer, or especially her, because she still denies. I mean, she what can I say? Like, I'm exasperated.
Go for it.
I said to her, like, this idea of a ban on North Sea oil and gas, not finding new fossil fuels, this is mainstream international opinion. I said, she said, is it? I said, well, look, it's the UN. I think of them as mainstream. It's like the IPCC. It's the International Energy Agency. It just poo-poos the whole damn thing. It's like climate change isn't really happening, you know. And anyway, just another threat, a virus that kills one in every two people that it infects. It's going to make the coronavirus look like a cold, right?
Wow. I mean, is this coming? Is it a possibility? What's the deal here?
It's moved into Europe and it's in France now. So like it's just across the channel, arguably. But there's, you know, there's plenty of people willing to bring it over, you know, in small boats. That's happening right now at record levels, and just another example of government incompetence to force so many people to cross the channel in such a dangerous way rather than accommodate them in a proper legitimate fashion.
Here's a question from Julia Hartley Brewer, who says, Dale, no. F*** off. You've got to her.
I think I've definitely got to her. Every time I go on the show, she won't let me speak.
She is the master of the long question.
Mm. And a monologue. I mean, she doesn't stop speaking. And when she can't think of what to speak, she just throws in words. I was watching the playback. She just does stuff that kind of joins up the jumble sail of thoughts that she's got and holds the floor, you know, doesn't stop and like I'm doing now, rather. Over to you.
Dear, what? You made me laugh. I choked.
That's the fumes from Canada, right?
That is, yeah, that's the Canadian cough right there.
I mean, that's the other big thing that's happening. New York is orange. Right. And still you've got people this week in right wing newspapers and radio and TV shows questioning the whole climate thing and the need to urgently do something about it. New York is orange because of forest fires in Canada, which are already at record levels before the forest fire season begins. And the fumes have got all the way to Norway. I mean, we are truly in a terrible state.
What is Canada doing? What is that? Is that a shortcoming of Canada? Is it a global statement? What's behind this here?
I don't know if it's commercial forestry, in which case it would be man-made, or whether it's just happening in the wild and it's man-made because of the climate.
Yeah, they know how to chop shit down over there. That's for sure. They don't hang around once they get an axe in their hand.
And they bring it over here to feed it to Drax, and then Drax claim it's green energy with zero carbon emissions.
Here's what, talking of zero carbon emissions or reduction in carbon emissions, obviously any time there's a debate, how many times somebody said to you, Dale, whether it's Julia or somebody else, in the midst of a discussion, they've said these three words. What about China?
We love that one, don't we?
What about China, eh? Yeah, every time. More than 50% of China's electricity is now generated by non-fossil fuel sources.
Yes. And actually, the headline's slightly misleading. The stats behind there are that 50% of the generating capacity, just over 50% in China, is renewable. That's the capacity, not the actual output. For some reason, which they didn't explain very clearly when I read it, the actual fuel mix is still 56% fossil fuel, but the actual installed capacity is 50% renewable energy, which is, anyway, a massive milestone.
Yeah. Again, you know, it's they've clearly got trouble. They've got work in progress, but whatever is going on, they are now one of the biggest adopters of non-fossil fuel sources on the planet.
This is a country of 1 billion people. It's quite incredible. You've got to wonder if in China they say, what about the fucking Brits? What are they doing?
I wonder if that happens on like a Chinese kind of podcast or talk show somewhere where someone right now is saying in Chinese, what about the UK?
It'll be the Chinese right wingers, right? The anti-climate, anti-renewable energy. If they have them, I don't know if they have them.
They might give it a go. On a similar vein about adopting new energy, electric city buses in Europe, the sales of electric city buses overtake diesel sales, and that's never happened before.
Yeah, that's never happened in any transport sector, not just buses, but any transport sector. Fantastic piece of news. When I looked at the graph, though, what you could see is diesel bus sales were plummeting and electric bus sales were climbing, but not rapidly. Underneath that, the rapid climb was in hybrid buses, but it's all brilliant news. You know, it's the end for the diesel bus for sure. And why not? And guess what? Most of the ones that are being made are coming from China. Bless them, because they make a lot of the shit we really need.
Yeah, there's an irony, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the Chinese? That's all I'm saying, Dale. This one from Alistair, who says, Dale, don't you think it's time for the Treasury to introduce solar and battery storage into a salary sacrifice scheme like bikes and electric cars? It seems like a cheap way for the UK to make energy systems more robust while costing the Treasury very little in real terms.
Yeah, I mean, there was almost a tongue twister in the middle of that sentence. I could feel it while you were saying
storage it. Salary sacrifice scheme.
But I think this is a brilliant idea. Now, we've been campaigning with the Daily Express for a while, something we called Zero for Zero, which is to say to the Treasury, zero VAT on anything that can help us get to zero carbon, including solar panels and batteries and that kind of stuff. But salary sacrifice is another great way to approach it. I'm going to think about that and maybe adopt that if you don't mind, Alistair, and use it going forwards, because I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely. And again, these stories keep on coming. Jaguar Land Rover invest in a vegan leather company. One assumes this is for upholstery purposes.
Yeah, I love it, right? Because it's a real issue because, you know, most cars, once you get to a certain category in terms of price and that kind of stuff, just come with leather. And there is no alternative. You know, you can't even get cloth seats. So I think this is brilliant and a sign of what's coming. So, yeah, well done, Jaguar Land Rover. I know there's a electric Range Rover coming out soon and Discovery because we're talking to them at Forest Green about this. And, yeah, I can't wait to see it.
And finally, question from Andy on LinkedIn, who says, Dale, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass here, but you've given me and millions of others much needed hope in these turbulent times. Don't stop. The tide is turning and momentum is building. That's a sort of fairly messianic kind of compliment coming your way, Dale.
That's awesome. It's really awesome to hear. And these last couple of weeks, I've been attacked by the right-wing media in some pretty underhand ways, actually. I mean, not just front pages spouting nonsense, but there was one headline that said, Labour give money back to sex offender or something like that. And then they stuck three pictures of me underneath it and no pictures of anybody else.
Really?
Yeah, we're taking it up with them because I'm just not having it.
Shite on
right?
a stick, yeah.
It's all kinds of bad. But in that period of time, all kinds of people have mailed me or stopped me on the street to say, like, well done and thanks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So like, I really appreciate that. And it will
like a parallel universe going on out there, isn't it? Yeah.
It'll help me to double down. It is like a parallel universe. I mean, it really is. And going out on a protest was a great way to experience for myself, yeah. You know, just what's really happening. Otherwise, you look at it through the lens of the media. And as I keep telling them, it's only you media guys that say JSO, Just Stop Oil, are unpopular, right? Like I told GMB, they said, but in our Twitter poll, 80% of people said they should pay their own protest costs. And I said, if you want to know what the nation thinks, you've got to do a proper poll.
Yeah.
A statistically representative one. And they were like, oh, but that's 80%. I said, 80% of your Twitter followers. I don't understand how they don't get that.
Yeah. It's not scientific. You wouldn't be opening a poll company with that kind of criteria. Where are you going to get your info from? Twitter. Yeah, that's not going to work.
My followers, right? My Twitter followers. Yeah. Talk about living in a bubble.
Final question from Julia, who says, I hate you. She can't leave you alone, Dale.
What can I say?
I think there's a love-hate relationship going on there.
Yeah, me and the right-wing media, that's just how it is, especially Mike Graham. I had a great session with him this week on the radio. He makes me laugh so much.
That was a beauty. Well, that's a proper debate where you can kind of have some fun.
Don't call it that.
Have
fun, yeah.
I guess there's no you're not sensing malice coming out of it. Joshing, if you like, you know.
It's a great joshing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I love going on with Mike Graham, really do. And I had a session with Piers Morgan as well. I mean, and that was fun as well, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He said to me at one point, I'll ask the questions of Mr. Vince. This is my interview. And I said, no, it isn't, Piers. This is our interview. And I kept pushing him on this question. Are you okay with the killing of a baby cow so that you can drink its mother's milk? And he wouldn't answer the question. Interview long.
Speak next week, Dale. Have a good one.
Yep, cheers.
That's it for this episode. Don't forget to follow this podcast on your podcast provider. That way you get each new episode automatically. Really important, follow Dale on social media, twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince, and on Instagram too.
Zero Carbon East On.